When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 14th, 2022. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Tim, you do anything fun for Valentine's Day?
No, it's me and Gia's anniversary is February 12th. So we kind of treat that as like our whole Valentine's Day thing. Seven years, baby.
Seven years, dude.
That's wild. Congratulations.
It is. It was awesome. It was a month after we left IGN. So it's always like 7 years ago was a very important moment in my life. Here we are, still kicking.
Incredible. We're in 2022. How the time has passed. Of course, I'm Blessing Eddie Jr., your host. I'm joined by Tim Fucking Geddes.
Feeling so good. Dude, that halftime show in so many ways was for us, Bless. When I saw 50 come down from the ceiling, I was like, this isn't what I expected, but I am very excited that it's happening. Good for everyone involved.
When I saw him come down from the ceiling, I was like, man, I hope he's going to be okay. Because like, he didn't look as comfortable as he did in the music video back in the day. Let me tell you, that man looked like all the blood was rushing to his head.
Did you ever see the My Band video from D12?
Yes, but I cannot recall it. Well, I definitely remember watching it.
I mean, watch it after this. You'll see what I'm referencing, but I'm not going to say anything more because it's a little mean.
Okay. Where would you put that halftime show in, like, the rankings of Super Bowl halftime shows?
I would say it was pretty up there, but, like, I don't think it was, like, good enough to be like, oh, it's the best thing I've ever seen. I think I was telling you this before the show went live, but whenever we get epic things in the daytime, they're not as epic. And the set looked so good. The LED lights were on point. But they weren't looking that great because it's broad daylight outside. Yeah. I was like, if that same performance was at like 8 p.m., I think it would have like really, really like ratcheted up the energy. Also, in a COVID world, you can't really have that many people surrounding them. So it kind of felt a little sparse on purpose. Like, they nailed it for what they could do. But I do think that there's a couple, this same show a couple years ago on the East Coast, I think could have had a much better impact.
Yeah, no, I really dug it. My one critique with it is the fact that, like, I think because you had so many different artists in there, you only got to see, like, them perform for a minute and a half each and do their most popular song each, and then it's on to the next one. I wish it was a Super Bowl that was totally owned by Dr. Dre and Snoop, or Dr. Dre and Eminem, or just Kendrick Lamar. Because Kendrick Lamar would, if you gave the Super Bowl just to Kendrick Lamar and it's him going through his biggest hits, like, just that minute and a half we got of Kendrick owned the whole thing, right? That man has a stage presence unlike anything else, and I kind of wanted to see that, because like, I knew I was gonna get Lose Yourself from Eminem, I knew I was gonna get All Right from Kendrick Lamar. Like, you can kind of predict each of the songs you're getting. I liked that we got Still Dre from Dr. Dre, but
He busted out the piano, I was like, he's gonna do it, guys, he's gonna do it. And then we got a little Tupac tribute there for a sec, which was kind of nice. When he started doing it
too, dude, just randomly on the drums, just playing drums. It in. Oh man, you gotta love it. But Tim, enough about the Super Bowl. It is review season, so we got a lot to talk about. Things like a Horizon Forbidden West review roundup, Capcom about to drop some big news, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, it's review season. Like I said before, I need you, if you're driving right now, I need to pull over, roll down the window. If you're at work, take a break. All right, go to the nearest window, roll it up, roll it down, whichever way is open.
Window down and just lick it.
Don't lick it. It's COVID season. Don't lick it.
Bottom to top.
take a nice whiff. You smell that? pollen in the air. That's the review season pollen, all right? That's what that is. Our Horizon Forbidden West review is up right now. Went up at midnight. It is me, Greg, Andy, Janet, and Paris Lily. We've all played it. We've all beat it. And we all got a lot to say about it. You can go check that out right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. If you want the 1-minute version of our review, you should go over to tiktok.com/@kindoffunnygames where you can check out my review where I gave it 5 out of 5. Amazing. I was going to say 5 stars. We don't do stars here. We just call it amazing. Roger and the team over there edited it down. It is an excellent, excellent piece of content that you should go check out on the TikTok. And speaking of Horizon, today's PS I Love You XOXO is going to be your Horizon Forbidden West questions answered. Listen to all the reviews and then bring your questions to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be a part of the show live at 3 p.m. Pacific time. That is free for everyone on Tuesday, of course, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, James Davis at James Davis Makes, Pranksy, Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez, and Blackjack. Today brought to you by Upstart and Green Chef, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Tim, you already know. We got to start off talking about some Horizon Forbidden West because that's the big news story today. There's a review roundup that we got for you. Right now on Metacritic, it is sitting at an 89. It is also at an 89 on OpenCritic. Let's start off with the big one. Simon Cardi at IGN gave it a 9 out of 10 and says, a triumphant combination of enthralling combat, top-tier creature and character design, and a captivating open world, Horizon Forbidden West is an absolute blast and a fantastic showcase for the power of the PS5. Although the return of a couple of familiar series trappings and a noticeable lack of freeform climbing never threatens to derail the enjoyment, it does leave it falling frustratingly short of something revolutionary. Major evolutionary steps have firmly been placed in the right direction, however, and there's no doubting the many, many hours of fun to have with Aloy, who stakes her claim further to be one of this generation of gaming's greatest characters. Guerrilla has outdone itself yet again with Forbidden West, and at this trajectory, neither the horizon nor the sky's the limit for what could come next. And then Kimberly Wallace at Game Informer gave it a 9.25 out of 10 and says Horizon Forbidden West reaches a new high bar for Guerrilla Games. It does more than surpass its predecessor. It takes Horizon's fiction to captivating places and builds a rich world that rewards you for the effort you put into it. Mostly, it's an entertaining experience complete with jaw-dropping moments and unforgettable fights. And then Blessing at Kinda Funny called it amazing and says Horizon Zero Dawn sequel somehow makes its sci-fi post-apocalyptic narrative and fun open world gameplay better. Tim ma fucking Geddes, people at this point have probably heard all of Kinda Funny except for you give their thoughts on Horizon Forbidden West, and partly because I don't know if you played it or not, but I do want to know where you're at with it.
Yeah, that's a good reason why. No, I honestly haven't really played it. I played for maybe an hour, but Sifu got my attention. So many other things got my attention, and there was more than enough people on the review, so I was like, my voice is not important here, so I'm going to step out of it. So excited that it seems to be as good as everyone kind of wished it was. Horizon Zero Dawn was never really my jam. I thought it was beautiful, and I really enjoyed the colors and the creature design like Simon Cardi was talking about, but never really liked Aloy as a character, and just like, you know, everyone knows, those type of games, not necessarily my cup of tea. The whole giant open worlds, people talk about 75 plus hours. I'm like, I don't know about that. But this is definitely a PS5 moment, right? Like, this is one of those games that's PlayStation exclusive. So, okay, fine, PS4, PS4 Pro, whatever, that as well. But it on the PlayStation 5 looks utterly gorgeous. Even in the hour that I had, I was like, damn, there is so much love and care being put into every single part of this game. So I'm excited that it is doing as well as it is. I am not surprised at all. But at the same time, this is the type of game. It is that sequel, right, where Guerrilla proved that they got the stuff when it came to the first game. But did they have what it takes to really elevate the second one, especially in a world that has seen games kind of evolve in so many different ways, with Horizon 1 coming out right next to Breath of the Wild and all the comparisons made then, where here we are 5 years later, those comparisons are still going to be made. Did this game kind of like fix the issues that people had with the first game in comparison to Breath of the Wild? And it seems like Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. I think that hearing a lot about the climbing being something that comes up in a lot of the reviews that I've read so far, not really being that great, is kind of a bummer. And it seems like it's the core piece of the gameplay. But what do you think about that?
I think it splits the difference, where I think if Horizon went full Breath of the Wild with the climbing and the gliding and like even adding a stamina system on top of that, I think you would see a lot of fans get bummed out that they lost their identity and tried to lean in too much into the things that made that game great. I think Horizon Forbidden West takes the feedback and takes certain ideas and uses them, but still keeps its own identity in a way that I really like. And so, like, for me, the climbing I thought was good, right? Again, it's not Breath of the Wild climbing. It is not stamina-based. It is not you can climb anywhere. But with the scan mechanic, if you press R3 to scan the world, it'll show you, like, these are the surfaces that you can climb. And that makes it so that where before, and, like, I remember, like, the standard, when we talk about open world jank, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit, and we definitely talk about in our review, and I talk about in the TikTok, right? I call back to things like Skyrim or like other open world games where I am hopping sideways up a mountain because I know I can jank my way up there and, like, you know, kind of use the world to my own advantage in that way. Where I think the climbing gives good reason for you not to feel like you are getting up a mountain or you're getting up a surface in a way that is janky, right? It makes it feel natural, and it makes the open world feel very well designed around that. Like, this is an open world that's designed around the climbing and around, like, the Uncharted style. Okay, where's the next ledge that I can hop to? All right, I'm going, I have more access to the world because you have that additional mechanic. And then the gliding makes it so that the world can be a bit more vertical, you know, in terms of, like, design, right? Where you are going up mountains, but it's not a hassle to get down because you can hop off from anywhere and use your glider and get down safely. It's not necessarily a glider meant to uncover and explore the whole map, but it does make the exploring the world a little bit more easier, and not as, it doesn't get in the way as much as I felt like oftentimes in Horizon Zero Dawn. I just didn't feel like exploring because I felt like either I was being interrupted by a machine, or I just didn't feel like running up like a certain surface, or I felt like the exploration just wasn't as good feeling moment to moment. And Forbidden West, I feel like it's good moment to moment. I think that stuff is good.
The biggest question I have is, I was really excited looking at the state of plays and trailers and stuff leading into the launch of this for the combat. Like, a lot of the kind of like boss situations we've seen, or at least bigger enemy situations, seemed really dynamic and fun of using the environment to even kind of like grapple hook around and get some little like chip damage in, get in, do some melee stuff. Like, do you think that the combat was vastly improved from the first game?
Yes, but it wasn't. Yeah, the combat is interesting because in the first game, I wasn't in love with the combat. I thought it was good, and I thought it was unique and interesting, but this time around, I actually fell way more in love with the combat, and I think it's the thing of they didn't rebuild it from the ground up by any means. It is not a different combat system, but it is a refined combat system where I think the weapons make more sense. The way it feels makes more sense. The enemy design, I think, is better. The way the enemies feel a little bit more dynamic and reactionary and have a little bit more TLC put into them. Like, this is a Horizon Zero Dawn that is way more polished, right? And feels way more designed and has way more effort put into it. And I think that is where you're seeing a lot of the stuff actually come through and shine. It reminds me of pretty much any video game series where you see that jump from the first entry to the second entry, right? Like, the amount of people that talk about Assassin's Creed 2 versus Assassin's Creed 1, because Assassin's Creed 2 took that groundwork, took that framework, and elevated it way beyond. It reminds me a bit of that, where Horizon Forbidden West isn't a completely different game from Horizon Zero Dawn, but it takes all the things that game did good and just capitalizes on all of it and makes it way better. I know Paris Lily played a lot of Horizon Forbidden West, and Paris Lily also just joined the call. Paris, what's good?
Hey, I'm just listening to you talk, and I guess allegedly I didn't talk enough during the actual review. So I just wanted to hop in and just kind of jump off of what you're saying. Part, like, with the gameplay and just the overall thing, I think Guerrilla just doubled down on what Horizon Zero Dawn did well and improved upon that. To me, that's the best way to look at this. If you enjoyed Horizon Zero Dawn, you're going to go into Forbidden West and you're going to see they took a lot of lessons learned and just improved it. The gameplay, that for me, the exploration felt great. I felt encouraged to want to do everything in the game, right? All the different activities. the various skill trees that you have. We kind of talked about it during review, but if you commit yourself to like melee as an example in that skill tree, you're going to be able to perfect that along the way. Kind of Tim, like think Sifu as an example, right? The more you keep doing it and the more you learn all the different combinations and everything that you do, the better you're going to get. So when you get into later stages in the game and you're going after these different, you know, machine animals and, you know, you're doing these rebel camps and things like that, you're going to be able to create specific strategies out there in the open world that fit you. To me, like I said during the review, the star of this game is the sandbox of yes. Forbidden West, is the open world of it, because I don't think any two people are going to have the same exact experience when they play this game. And that's the beauty of it. To me, Gorilla just knocked it out of the park. I mean, Blessing, you gave it a 5 out of 5. I gave it a 5 out of 5. Boo Andy for 4 out of 5. But it is well deserved of that score. Absolutely. Yeah. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. There's bugs and things I'm sure they're going to fix as we go along. But overall, this is a game of the year worthy game.
That's the thing I wanted to bounce off of too, because you mentioned like the 5 out of 5 and the 4 out of 5, right? I know you're totally joking in terms of like the Boo Andy, but like when I was figuring out my score for the game, I was in a place where I didn't know where I was going to go between a 5 and a 4. And it was me hitting up Greg after us all discussing what our review scale was, right? And that jump between great and amazing and what that meant for us. You know, I look at the reviews that are out right now, and I look at Kimberly's review here from Game Informer, which is a 9.25, and Simon's from IGN, which is a 9 out of 10. And I'm totally in agreement with them. If I was on a 10-point scale, I would be in that 9 range of like, I don't think the game is flawless. I don't think the game is perfect. I don't even know if I'd say the game is a masterpiece, but I think in the places that matter, Horizon Forbidden West reaches that level of excellence. And is a game that by the time I reached the end, I had fallen in love with. And for me, that is enough for on what our scale is, right, to call it amazing. And yeah, like to Paris's point about the world, about the sandbox as well, like I think the thing for me in our comparisons to other open world games, whether it be Breath of the Wild or Red Dirt or the open world games that we consider the great open world games, right? When we talk about Breath of the Wild, I know what comes to the forefront of the conversation all the time is the climbing and like the physics system, which I think is excellent. One of the best things that Breath of the Wild does. But I think one thing that often gets forgotten about when we talk about it, because it's not as like it's not as much of a buzzword, is the fact that Breath of the Wild's open world and the design of the open world feels so designed in the way that you have so many points of interest, right? You start in the Great Plateau, you look around and you see a thing in the sky, or you look around and you see a desert area, or you look around and you see Death Mountain, right? You have so many different things in the way that like it's designed like a theme park, where any direction you have something interesting that you're that is pulling your interest and makes you want to go and follow that thing. Horizon Forbidden West, I think, takes good note of how to design a really good open world that doesn't get boring and that feels like there's TLC put into it, in the way that it is still that, you know, you open up your map, you have a bunch of icons, you have a list of activities, and they are repeated activities, right? You're going through, you're doing the tall necks, you're doing the melee pits, you're doing the side quests, all these things. But each individual thing feels like it has its own gimmick to it that really does make it feel special. Like each tall neck feels special. It's not just you are climbing up a tall neck and you're unlocking the map. There is some kind of gimmick, there is some kind of story, there is some kind of mechanic attached to make that tall neck feel special. Same thing with even the melee pits, same thing with any of the activity. There's old world ruins, which are basically like random structures you'll find in the open world. It might be a broken down hotel, it might be a former like office building, something like that, where it is you go through and you're trying to unlock a door in there so you can get a special item. And to do that, you have to read logs and figure out like, okay, what's the puzzle I'm solving here? Almost reminds me of like a shrine in Breath of the Wild, that sort of thing. And I think that stuff goes a long way into making Horizon Forbidden West's world feel special. It feels like a way more designed and way more thought out world than Horizon Zero Dawn. And I think that goes to what Paris is saying about the sandbox.
While I have the two of you here, so one of the things that I'm really excited about with gaming right now, specifically with the PS5, is how it uses the DualSense in unique ways, whether it's the haptic feedback or the speakers and all the stuff, like Returnal obviously comes to mind. Did this game push that stuff forward in any way to you guys?
Paris, what do you think?
I thought from an audio standpoint, it did, absolutely. I played the entire game with the 3D Pulse headset on, and just the directional audio and the little subtle things that you would hear out in the world were fantastic. DualSense-wise, I mean, no, this isn't doing things like Ratchet & Clank or Returnal did with it, or even, obviously, Astro's Playroom, but there's definitely some fun haptic things that are happening there, but not as obvious as you have with some of those other PS5 games.
Yeah, like the DualSense stuff was never super noticeable for me, but I think that's also because we're now in year 2.5, I guess, of having the PS5 and having the DualSense. So like the bow and arrow stuff that I'm sure that was talked about in like the PlayStation blogs and pretty much every example they give for how the DualSense worked, like that stuff was there. It was never a thing that I actually thought about this time around, because I think I've gotten that through so many other games that it's just become second nature. I will say that, yeah, the audio, to put to Paris's point, is great in the game. Like, and I wasn't using the actually I went back and forth between using my Pulse headset, which is like PlayStation first party headset, and then also my Razer Kyra. I'm like swimming in headsets right now. And Tim, I don't know if you've heard of the Razer Kyra Pro, but it's basically like it's a haptic feedback headset, and so like when there's deeper tones going on in the sound design of a game, you get that haptic feedback in the feel. And I thought that felt really cool while playing, especially because like the soundtrack and the score of the game, especially when you're in combat, has some dubstep like wobble in like some of the sound design of the score. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it sounds almost like an electronic industrial, like we're gonna go really interesting places with the sounds we use in the soundtrack, and that stuff feels great with the headphones. But then you also have stuff like, you know, getting hit with an arrow or launching an arrow that has that subtle feedback to it that I thought was really cool with the Kyra headphones. But yeah, like the 3D sound design I think is fucking awesome in it.
Hell yeah. Well, there you go. Horizon, check it out, right?
There you go. Are you planning to check it out?
I'm going to play it throughout the year, but I don't know that I'm ever going to beat it. Like the first game I beat over time, or I beat it, I guess, for the review at that point, but I golden pathed it. And then I was like going back and doing a lot of the side quest. But again, it's just not my type of game, but it's a beautiful, amazing experience. And it seems like they've just upped the ante in every single way. So don't listen to me, anybody.
Now, before we move on to the next news story, I want to talk about like this year for video games, because we're in, it is February 14th, right? Valentine's Day, review season. A lot of stuff going on right now. And we've already gotten multiple games where I think many of us are like, yo, we love these games, or these are game of the year contenders in terms of quality, right? Whether it be Sifu, Dying Light 2, Pokemon Legends Arceus, and Horizon Forbidden West. Where are you at with the year in terms of like how well games are doing so far?
Oh, I mean, it's crazy. So far for me, it's Sifu. Easy. Where Pokemon didn't really do what I'm looking for a Pokemon game, Horizon is not my type of game. So it's like, I'm very happy that I got something in Sifu that I'm like, yo, this is for me. I am absolutely in love with it. I am still working on that platinum. It's not going great, but it's going good. You know,
how's it going? Like, I know probably the hardest trophy is to get the game completed under age 25.
That's the only one that I'm like, I'm going to have to really, really grind and try to make it happen. I'm feeling confident that I'll be able to, though. I haven't had as much time as I would have liked to play the game the last couple of days. It's been a busy weekend, but I'm having so much fun going back and just doing all the little things like sparing the people. I'm working on that right now. And my problem, Bless, and without getting into too much detail here, is I keep fucking accidentally doing the finishing move. I do it and then I stagger. The thing comes up, and just instinctively, I do it. Yep. I've now killed boss four six fucking times. That is like 3 hours of wasted time of my life.
Like, Tim, for nothing. Just the fact that you went from struggling, right, being on level one and being like, I don't know how I'm going to beat this, to now accidentally killing the fourth boss six times.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I fucking love that game so much. It's great, man. The level of growth, and it's not like you're getting, like, you know, attack stats or strength stats or anything like that. That is just the pure Tim Getty skill that has gotten that good across playing games. So I'm proud of you, Tim.
You and Andy, you were my Sifus. I swear to God. Like, you made it all happen, dude. You taught me the ways.
Dude, Elden Ring is up next to him. I think there's a chance. There's a chance he might get in.
I can tell you right now, there's no chance. If I'm playing Horizon and I'm like, I don't know, I ain't doing Elden Ring. Nah, Sekiro, more of a chance.
Sekiro will be more your jam for sure, because more linear combat. It's fucking swift. It's fucking nice. One of the best combat systems I've played in the video game. You should 100% play Sekiro. But Tim, enough about Sekiro. Let's talk about Capcom with story number two.
Yes,
Capcom Countdown page is teased. It's apparently there's an upcoming announcement coming this weekend. I'm pulling from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. Capcom has launched a new website that is teasing an announcement for next weekend. The countdown page, which gives no further information as to what it may be for, is set to end on February 20th at 10 p.m. Pacific time. It's important to note that the Capcom Pro Tour 2021 season final is set to end next weekend, meaning this very well may be an announcement for Street Fighter VI or something else in the Legendary Fighting Game series. Street Fighter VI was part of a massive data breach at Capcom alongside Dragon's Dogma 2, the Resident Evil 4 remake, Monster Hunter 6, and more. It's also possible we may learn about the DLC for Resident Evil Village, Monster Hunter Rise's Sunbreak expansion, or even the possible remaster for Marvel vs. Capcom 2. A little bit more context I want to add here, right? This morning on Twitter, at REBH Portal, which I believe is the official Resident Evil / Biohazard Portal account on Twitter, which I don't know exactly what that is, but
I love what you said, which I believe is the official, I'm just going to read all the words. And yeah, I was right there with you. It's like Resident Evil, Biohazard, cool, Portal. You lost me, guys.
I don't know why they have so many accounts for Resident Evil, but here you go. It's the Portal official page. It's verified. I can say that at least. They tweeted out this morning, oh, there's something suspicious activity. I'm reading it verbatim. There's something suspicious activity going on at the Resident Evil portal, ... It seems that this was the reason why all the staff around me worked busy lately. There's something going on tomorrow at 4 p.m. JST, so we hope you all enjoy it. And then when you click into the image, you see like a history thing and then a coming soon thing, and then it says Biohazard 2, but it's like kind of like blurred out a little bit, and then you see other titles. It seems like it might be a collection or some weird thing going on there, but that's something I want to throw in as like a more context to this whole situation. Tim, I'm sure you saw this when you woke up. What are your thoughts? What is going on with this countdown?
Look, I'm so excited, and I love Capcom, and I feel like Capcom had their kind of renaissance a couple of years ago. There was a dark time that lasted many, many years throughout the last decade, but they've really kind of come into their own, not without missteps here and there, but when you look back at the last couple of years, like, I don't need to rattle off all the titles, you know, but it really kind of started around that Monster Hunter world and then all the remakes. So now with this, I would have said immediately it's Street Fighter VI. We're definitely due for that announcement. I think it's going to happen inevitably sometime this year. And I think the sooner, the better. The sooner makes more sense, especially with the timing being around the tournaments. But then you see this and it's like, whoa, maybe it's Resident Evil 4 remake. You know, Imran dropping that news story last week, where there's smokes, there's fire, as the kids say. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up getting something there that also is inevitable. Me and Greg were talking a couple days ago about the Resident Evil trajectory. And when you look at Remake 2, Remake 3, those were like January releases, 1 year after the other. And then, I mean, even RE7 the year before that, it took a little longer for RE8. For Village, right? That came out in April or May. And so here we are. It's coming up. We haven't had an announcement on a new RE game in the longest we have in years. So I think that's important to note. I wouldn't be surprised if this is Resident Evil 4 Remake. That's a game that we look at this, right? Like this, that's the menu.
That's tweeted down here. That's the actual menu.
Yeah, so for audio listeners, right, the image that's tweeted from the at REBH Portal account, official, verified, the background of it has the same exact, like, design as the RE4 options menu.
Yeah, so it's exciting, but,
like,
because...
The interesting thing, though, is that, like, this tweet is hinting at tomorrow at 4 p.m. JST, whereas, like, the countdown is for this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, maybe something is teased and then fully revealed this weekend, or maybe these are two different things. Maybe we're getting two big Capcom things.
Huh? Wait, okay. I always get confused because Japan time is so radically different than our time. 4 p.m. tomorrow.
It's not a week ahead, though. You know?
Japan?
Yeah.
Kev, how is Japan not that different?
Well, I mean, like, not a week, not 6 days.
Okay, not that different. Gotcha. Yeah.
JST.
Yeah. So, but okay. So, and also, like, this countdown doesn't give me RE vibes. To be fair, it doesn't, I guess, give me Street Fighter vibes either. Mm-hmm.
It does give you more than clock vibes, though, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. What could that be? I'm excited. I hope it's multiple things. Like, again, we're going to get an RE4 remake and Street Fighter 6 announcement this year. And I do think we're going to get them in the first half of this year. So wouldn't be surprised if this ends up all kind of coming together sooner than later. Other things you were bringing up there of like the MVC2 remaster or whatever it is. I don't. That's such a weird thing where that did not exist. And then fans just kind of talked about it. And in this era, fans kind of can push things into existence. So I think that that is a little bit more turned the key to just release it. Like, they have the game, they already have it remastered, like that existed on the 360 and PS3, and then they took it down for licensing issues. So that is more of a behind the scenes figure out licensing, and then boom, it's pretty much ready. So I don't think it's going to be that. I also think that we are overdue for another versus Capcom fighting game. It's been a long time since Infinite, and I think that we have a new era of Capcom. We also have a very clear new era of Marvel games. So a new Marvel versus Capcom game wouldn't surprise me, but something else versus Capcom, I think, is just as likely. Either way, I'm excited about all of this stuff. The things that I would be least excited in are if it is Monster Hunter or Dragon's Dogma related, but that's just a personal thing. Yeah, I'm sure dope, that... though. There are people that are just as excited as I would be.
There's like so many buckets. There's so many buckets that will get people hype, right? Because I know for a fact that like Kevin and Greg would get super hyped for Monster Hunter, and I would be interested at the very least, because I've been wanting to find a good jumping in point for Monster Hunter, and I know people that would go crazy for Dragon's Dogma too.
And it does feel like we are due for a PlayStation and Xbox Monster Hunter, right? We got Worlds a couple years ago, and then we got the expansion packs and I forget what it was called, the icy cold cold.
Iceborne, mm-hmm. Icebreak.
That's Iceborne sounds right.
Yeah,
Monster Hunter Winter.
I was close. Mm-hmm. But regardless, like I feel like we are due for a Monster Hunter World 2 or something, right? Like that, especially on PS, like next gen consoles and last gen as well. But a new
gen release that feels like it takes advantage of like the PS5 and Xbox Series X, right? We're in we're in that fun place where I feel like sky's the limit in terms of the stuff that, or the IP that developers and publishers are going to want to bring forward to take advantage. Where like, I know we talk about NetherRealm and like, are they going to do, Mortal Kombat, or are they going to do Injustice? But like, you can see it either way because you got to have a Mortal Kombat on new consoles, right? Like, it makes sense to double dip. And for Monster Hunter, yeah, I can see them turning around and being like, all right, we just put out Monster Hunter Rise last year. Let's come back again, put out Monster Hunter World, or announce Monster Hunter World so we can put it out next year so we can take advantage of that new audience. Like, yeah, there's a lot of different potentials for what this could be. I'll put my money on Street Fighter VI. I think that the timing of it being around the Capcom Pro Tour coming to an end, or at least the season coming to an end, and how long it's been since Street Fighter. Like you mentioned, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite being coming out a while ago. Street Fighter V came out what feels like forever ago. And I think
it was forever.
It was like 2015, something like that. And like Street Fighter, I think, is due for a refresh because Street Fighter V, from as an outsider looking in, right? But somebody who pays attention to fighting games, Street Fighter V, I don't think set the world on fire the way that Street Fighter usually does. Like, I felt like that was kind of a rough launch that they tried to make better over the years, but I don't know if it ever reached that full maximum potential of Street Fighter. And I could easily see them going, all right, it's time. Like, new console, new generation. Let's make Street Fighter what it's supposed to be and make it the most popular, best fighting game on the planet.
See, what's interesting there, though, is part of the reason for that was its tie to being PlayStation exclusive, console-wise at least, right? Like, I think that fighting games are, it's a niche community enough that you already need to get as many players as possible. So I feel like that already kind of set them off in a bad place. And Street Fighter V was the first time they were really trying to do the Street Fighter as a platform. Where it's like, we're just going to keep adding to this, and there's just going to be the free expansions and characters. And I just think that a lot of that strategy, the world just wasn't really ready for that yet. I'm interested when Street Fighter VI comes out, is it PlayStation exclusive? I think it's going to be. Is that the right decision? I don't think so, but I do think it's going to be tied to it. I want to say that Bane0808 in the chat says it's Pragmata gameplay reveal, which that's interesting because Pragmata, last time we saw was 2020. During the PlayStation PS5 reveal event. That was that weird astronaut game.
Yes.
If you remember. Yeah,
that'd be an interesting one because that game got delayed till it was supposed to come out, I believe, this year and got delayed till 2023. So I feel like it's early for Pragmata gameplay unless they are treating this like a AAA top tier. We're putting this as our front runner for like our important Capcom games, which, you know, who know, it might be that. I would be shocked to see gameplay this early. I feel like E3 would be better timing, or later in the year if it's going to come out in 2023. But yeah, I wouldn't count that out, right? I think there's definitely a chance for that.
I mean, looking at this clock, it definitely looks more in design language style of Pragmata than it does Street Fighter or Monster Hunter or Resident Evil or anything we were talking about. Not that it's anything that I'm looking at watching this trailer right now. Kev, I sent a thing to Assets if you wanted to bring it up. I don't think anything screams, oh, this is that, but I don't know. It's interesting. Then there's the off the wall stuff of like the get hype moments. Of, I would love a new Onimusha. I would love a.
Oh. Reach into the bag. What's that sound? Like? Was that Digimon? What the fuck was
that? I love that. I love seeing Bless like intently listen to it.
The chat gets it. The chat gets it.
I'm so confused. It was the wrong song though, Kev. You needed to do the other one.
Was that? You just play the Digimon?
Both of them are good too. Both of them are good.
Oh, you're the best, Kevin. Kevin Coelho, man. Oh, on another level this year. Anyways, Pragmata. Pragmata. Praggy Prag.
This game looks cool. Like, I want this game to be dope.
And this has nothing to do with Konami, huh?
With no. What? I mean, when they first revealed it, I think
like
the robot
man.
Thing. It looks like the Ludens Kojima production.
Oh, Kojima. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that is a good call, Kev.
That's what we thought it was at first, but then, yeah, it was revealed to be Pragmata from Capcom. And we were all like, huh, okay, let's see what this is about. That was the exact quote.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Oh, Onimusha and Dino Crisis were the things I was going to bring up that I'm just going to always bring up until they happen. And Onimusha kind of did happen, which is so weird. They're just like, hey, we're going to release the first game again. And then they did.
Tim, just play some Sekiro, man. It'll satiate that, man.
Yeah.
Robot. On
you. Play some Sekiro. You too, Kevin. Play some Sekiro. Play some Sekiro, guys.
It's too hard. It's scary.
You'll learn. You'll get used to it. Story number three. Speaking of live streams, we got a Cyberpunk live stream that is incoming. This is Tom Hyman at Video Games Chronicle. Oh, yeah. CD Projekt Red will hold a Cyberpunk 2077 live stream on Tuesday, during which it is expected to reveal the game's release date for PS5 and Xbox Series X/S. The presentation will begin at 7 a.m. Pacific time, February 15th. Quote, so, Choom, how about a date? We'll talk things, you know? End quote. CD Projekt teased on their Twitter. Last month, the PS5 version of Cyberpunk 2077 was seemingly spotted in the PlayStation Network backend, suggesting that the long-awaited new-gen release could be coming soon. Cool. Tim, is this something that you're looking forward to?
I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm just putting it out there right now. I feel it.
Yeah?
It's coming out tomorrow.
You think they're going to shadow drop Cyberpunk 2077 tomorrow on next gen?
I think they are, because it's not like it's a game that needs like another marketing promo cycle, right? Like, I feel like this is their chance to be like, yo, get it out there. Hopefully get the positive news of that and get the boost there. Could be totally wrong about it, but something tells me that it might be tomorrow.
It would be smart. Yeah, I think letting the game speak for itself as opposed to marketing it, which... Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, trying to advertise the game and trying to market it, I think, backfires a little bit because they've already done that, and the game has gotten so much bad press that I think at this point, putting it out on PS5 and Xbox Series X and having it work and function and not be super glitchy would be the best way to advertise it, so that people go, oh, shit, like, you guys need to check out these next-gen versions of Cyberpunk. Like, this game is actually pretty good. Because, yeah, like, I want Cyberpunk to, like, reach a place where we can feel good about it, right? We can feel good about the IP. We can feel good about the updates. We can feel good about maybe multiplayer coming someday, and we can feel good about maybe future Cyberpunk games, because, like, I still stand by Cyberpunk 2077 for the way I played it, which is on PC, and a pretty good PC, is a pretty fun game that I think has a lot of good stuff going for it. Kevin, I'm hearing sound from you. Are you saying something?
Yeah, I just laugh at you being like, and I'm pretty good at PC.
I have a pretty good PC.
Oh, God. I thought you were bragging about being good at playing PC games. I was like,
you give me a mouse and keyboard, I'll take out any Choom. I don't know what a Choom is still. I played the game.
I don't think you're allowed to say that, though. You know what I mean?
It does feel weird to say out loud.
I mean, it's definitely like an offensive term, right? Yeah,
but I mean, I don't know. I apologize.
Not real life offensive.
Like fake offensive. Yeah. We digress, but like get in the point I was talking about earlier, right? Like, Cyberpunk 2077 is a really enjoyable game if you're playing it in the right space, in the right way, right? Which is on a way more powerful platform than a PS4 or Xbox One. So if it runs the way it's supposed to, and if they're able to get those updates out that fix more of the bugs, and if they're able to just get it to a polished place, I think that'll get more people on the side of, oh, this is actually pretty good. I want more from this. And I think that's the way you start to rebuild Cyberpunk a bit. But again, it is still a big ask when that game came out and just disappointed so many people and had so much bad press in the beginning. But I wanted to succeed, man. I wanted to come back because I liked that game, Tim.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I also liked, Tim? Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, yep. Where folks can go to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Think of all the things you could do and all the places you could go if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt. Upstart helps make those dreams a reality by helping you pay off your existing debt quickly with a personal loan. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute rate check, you can see your rate upfront for your loans between $1,000 and $50,000 and receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. Green Chef is the greenest way to get your greens. It's the most sustainable meal kit out there, offsetting 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. Their pre-portioned ingredients mean you reduce your food waste by at least 25% compared to boring old grocery shopping. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, with options for every lifestyle like keto and paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free. I'm Greg Miller, and I use Green Chef. They just sent me a box the other day. We had these Greek pitas. They were delicious. You cut them in half, then you put all the delicious stuff in there. Came in a brown bag. You open up the brown bag, take out all these other brown bags, then you recycle it all, then you eat this delicious food. It's great. Why wouldn't you do this? Go to greenchef.com/kindoffunny130 and use the code kindoffunny130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/kindoffunny130 and code kindoffunny130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
Madonna. Story number four. Nathan Drake and Chloe Frazier are headed to Fortnite. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN. And Kevin, I have images that you can pull up here in the doc. Mm-hmm. In celebration of the upcoming Uncharted film, the video game and movie versions of Nathan Drake and Chloe Frazier will be arriving as outfits in Fortnite on February 17th. Fortnite's latest collaboration was teased via its official website last week, where it asked players to work together to solve a riddle with a 14-character password. Creators like The Squatting Dog on Twitter solved the riddle pretty quickly with the password at The Squatting Dog. The password.
I've been following him for a while. He's awesome. Sorry.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Who is this person? I don't know The Squatting Dog.
Well, he makes a lot of content for like Fortnite, where it's like whenever the weekly missions come out, like he'll get a map and put like what areas you have to go to find stuff.
Oh shit!
Really, really randomly, Joey at one point worked with him.
I'm flabbergasted because like I read the story and I was like, oh cool, random ass name, and then it turns out Joey knows this person. That's fucking awesome. But yeah, at The Squatting Dog quickly put together the password riddle, sick parvis magna. Those who have played the Uncharted games will remember that Latin phrase is from Sir Francis Drake's ring that Nathan Drake has. It was also linked to the real Sir Francis Drake. Once the password is entered, users are taken to an unlisted video on Fortnite's YouTube channel that shows the outfits in action. The film versions of the outfits are based on Tom Holland's Nathan Drake and Sophia Ali's Chloe Frazier. The video game versions are based on their looks from Uncharted 4 Thief's End and Uncharted The Lost Legacy, respectively. Fun fact, this will be Tom Holland's second appearance in Fortnite following his arrival as Spider-Man. Kevin, you are our Fortnite correspondent. Does this make you smile?
You know, it does. I wasn't listening to what we have to do to get them. If we can just earn them, I will earn them. If we have to buy them, I will think about it real hard. Real hard.
You know, does Nathan Drake not get you excited enough to just drop whatever price tag they put on it?
Not certainly not whatever.
Okay.
Not whatever.
I gotta be real. Like, this Chloe model, the outfit is a horrible. I do not like it at all. Why does it look like she's just wearing, like, American Apparel? Like, she looks like she went to Uniqlo, and like this is like not even like a real Chloe outfit.
You're
like
really, I feel like her. You're being, hey, really,
which Chloe are you
her.
Talking about? You're talking about movie Chloe or game Chloe?
Game Chloe.
Game Chloe.
Like, why does it just look so sterile? That's not how Chloe looks.
Yeah, I think it is. Well, I mean, But we don't
know. There's a little more style to it normally, like the outfit, like, I don't know, whatever.
Tim, you haven't seen the movie. I don't like yet, it. You know, maybe that's what she wears the whole time. Her traditional the movie red one's shirt. On the right.
Yeah, no, Tim is talking about the game one, who I'm pretty sure, like, I honestly, I think it's just the fact that it's Fortnite, and like Fortnite sterilizes the character a little bit. But like, I think she looks good enough. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. When you're in the action, when you're in the gunplay, you're not even looking at the American Apparel. All right, mm-hmm. You're focusing on the enemy, mm-hmm. who might be Spider-Man, mm-hmm. they might be Thor, they might be another Tom Holland. What's the other Tom Holland? Is it unmasked Spider-Man?
Yeah, you can take off the mask.
I feel like that's not Spider-Man's thing. I feel like you shouldn't be taking off the mask. I feel like that's
No. Are you kidding? Spider-Man takes his in the Sony-verse, he takes his mask off all the time. Remember? Like, even in the MCU, like, we see Spider-Man,
I guess in No Way Home, there's, like, not a reason for him to be wearing a mask all that much. That lines up. Anyway, let's move on to our next news story. Story number 5. Horror game Martha is Dead is being modified on PlayStation. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. The PlayStation versions of upcoming horror game Martha is Dead have been modified to remove certain elements, despite the original version launching as normal on Xbox and PC. It's not clear what has been modified, but Martha is Dead is already notable for an unflinching look at graphic elements, even in its trailers. The announcement came in a tweet posted just 10 days before Martha is Dead's launch. Expressing regret at the change, the developer statement was prefaced with a warning that the game was always intended for adult audiences. Quote, with play consisting of potentially discomforting scenes and themes that may distress some players, mm-hmm. end quote. It also announced that the physical versions on PlayStation would be delayed for a small number of weeks. Tim, this was breaking over the weekend. I went ahead and watched one of the trailers for Martha is Dead because I had heard the name, but I didn't look into what the game was because I'm not super into like these types of horror games. So I went ahead and watched one of the trailers. And when I tell you, I was not prepared for seeing a face peeled off by the skin in the trailer. That shit was wild. That said, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't think I like Sony, censoring, or not even censoring, right? Them restricting these elements of the game from being available on the platform. Because you got to assume it's Sony, right? If the game is appearing as is on Xbox and PC.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what it is that they're censoring. So I think that's the thing is, like, I don't really have thoughts personally one way or another until we know what that actually is. I align with you that, like, it does seem kind of weird. However, there are certain things, like, the world's changed. And where I personally stand is, like, I don't think that you should just be able to do whatever the hell you want, show whatever you want, whenever you want. That's just not how this is. So depending on what they're modifying, I don't know. Like, this isn't clear enough to me to really know. It is interesting that Xbox and PC are going to keep it. PC is a little bit different because it's PC.
Yeah.
People are just going to mod whatever they want anyways. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, what is it going to be? Does anyone know?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows. And that's the thing. That's where I end up being with you, where I'm kind of in a wait-and-see thing. I think at first blush, I'm like, all right, like, if it's appearing on Xbox, it probably can't be that bad, but maybe it is. Maybe I'm judging too soon. Maybe it is some fucked up shit.
I mean, the last time we've heard PlayStation do this stuff, it's for a lot of the Japanese games that take things too far. And I personally, I think that shit, it's like, yeah, hey, shouldn't be okay. So depending on what this is, I don't necessarily stand against this.
Kevin, what was that you about to say?
Bless, this person just removed the face and then they put it on.
Yeah, it's wearing metal, right?
Metal's not the right word. Metal's not the right word.
I like if it was for the face thing, then I'd be like, okay, maybe you don't need to take it off. But I wonder. Yeah, I'm like, I'm with Tim a little bit in terms of I wonder what more is in there that like might have warranted it. Because like I'm not completely against like managing your platform and like making sure that you're putting stuff on your store that, you know, isn't bullshit or isn't like weird or creepy or like, you know, crosses the line in any extreme way. That said, PlayStation also has games like ZJ the Ball, which are barely video games that are made for Greg Miller to get platinums in that are like, you know, like fucking garbage ass, like pieces of content. And I'm like, if you guys are going to like manage your platform in this way, I wish there was a little bit more TLC put into like, okay, yeah, but like, let's also go at the things that, I don't know, like take advantage of people's wallets in that way. I don't know. Like it's
why he was gonna attack Greg, all right? Let him throw away his money.
This is an attack at Greg. This is an attack at ZJ the Ball. I don't know if you heard about this. It's pretty ridiculous.
Love it.
All right, let's move on to story number 6. Call of Duty announced their next games on Twitter, right before the weekend, This is Jay Peters at The Verge, and this is one that we talked about a little bit at the end of last episode during You're Wrong, because it was breaking at the end of the show. Activision is working on two big Call of Duty initiatives for 2022, the company announced Friday. One is a sequel to 2019's Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and the other is a new Warzone experience, both of which will be designed together from the ground up, according to a blog post. It's unclear if the new Warzone experience is a full-on sequel or a major update in the vein of Fortnite's massive chapter changes, and the company didn't immediately reply to a request for a comment asking for clarification. However, Activision is promising some new things. You can expect, quote, a massive evolution of Battle Royale with all new play space and a new sandbox mode, the blog says, and a new engine that powers both the new Call of Duty game and release and new Call of Duty game release and Warzone, end quote. Development of the new Call of Duty game and this new Warzone experience will be led by Infinity Ward, the studio that made Modern Warfare, Infinite Warfare, Ghosts, and other Call of Duty titles, including the original. Tim, this is a very interesting way for them to announce Call of Duty, because usually it's not just via a tweet and a blog post, right? Usually there's more of a big blowout right before E3. I think in recent years, we've seen Call of Duty get revealed in August, but it's February 2022, and we know the next new Call of Duty games are a new Warzone and a new Modern Warfare. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Call of Duty's just evolved so much in the last couple years, and like it's over its iterations. Like, we got to the point where, okay, cool, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is a hit. Sequel, 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 Black Ops. Oh, Black Ops is a hit. Sequel, sequel, sequel. And then they added that third pillar, and it always felt like one of them kind of just didn't have the juice. It always kind of felt like an off year for Call of Duty. And then Warzone changed the game yet again, right? And we kind of got to the point that, okay, we're rebooting even Modern Warfare. Like, and everything's just kind of iterative and cycling over and over. So I think that they're just clearly looking at the audience and trying to be like, hey, we still are up there with the highest grossing game of the year every single year. But how do we maintain that in a shifting, changing industry alongside Warzone, which is this free-to-play opportunity for us to continue to grow, continue to make money, and split the player base in a way that could be beneficial to us? So I'm not surprised that they're trying something different here. I think especially with the acquisition stuff, like there's just so much at play. Like, I know that the acquisition can't change how they're doing their business currently or whatever, but I'm not surprised with this, especially thinking about Activision's place in the industry with all the controversy surrounding them in every single way. Like, this kind of just seems like, hey, let's just get the news out there that like the things that people want from mainline Call of Duties are what we're going to be giving them the next couple years. Let them sit on it so Jason Schreier doesn't leak it, because inevitably he's going to.
I mean, Jason Schreier already leaked it, right? I think that's the big thing here too, is like he talked about it, I think it was last week or the week before, where after the acquisition, when everybody had the questions of what does this mean for Call of Duty, what does this mean for the next years of Call of Duty, and that same news story where he reported that the next three Call of Duty entries are going to also be on PlayStation. He also mentioned that, yeah, the next Call of Duty entry is going to be Modern Warfare, the sequel to the Call of Duty Modern Warfare that we got already from Infinity Ward, and then a new iteration of Warzone. And so I think it's a combination of all the things you're saying, plus the fact that the information is already out there. Like, we already practically knew. And it's also nice to give that confirmation to go, hey, we're being bought by Microsoft. We know you have many questions. Let us answer these questions that we can answer right now.
Yeah,
and I think there's a certain confidence, too, in Modern Warfare to know that, like, Modern Warfare markets itself. You know, once you release a trailer, people are going to get excited for it. Like, talking about it early isn't going to do anything to mess with the promotion of the game. Let's round out the report with our final news story. Story number 7, Sifu is getting some accessibility updates. This is Steve Saylor on Twitter.
Hey,
the homie at Steve Saylor tweeted out, quote, hey, so it's weird I get to help break news, but yes, hashtag Sifu is getting hashtag accessibility updates post-launch. You're getting better captions, high contrast mode on PS4 and PS5. It was on PC, but not on PS4 and 5 at launch due to a bug. And then difficulty modes, both easier and harder, similar to Metroid Dread's update. That's awesome. That's really exciting stuff. I love that they're adding in the difficulty stuff, because I think that's been the big conversation around many folks not being able to get past like a lot of Sifu's content just because it's so brutal and they don't really give you options to tweak things and, like, you know, get deep into like an assist mode in the way that you can in a Celeste and many other games. Adding in difficulty is awesome. And I also like I see the harder difficulty mode, and I'm also like, I kind of want to try that out. You know, I kind of want to like make myself suffer a little bit. And so I love that they're doing this in the similar vein as Metroid Dread did in that Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I'm interested in what the harder difficulty could even look like, because I feel like pros like you, Barrett and Andy at this point, it's like you're already not really getting hit that much anyways, you know?
Yeah, so it's exactly. Like, Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, so. I wonder if it is like a thing of two hits and you're dead, like that sort of thing. Because that would be hardcore. If you do have to basically perfect these levels, because like I think it was Barrett maybe who was talking about how he got through certain levels without dying once. Like he was able to remain at age 20 for a good amount of the levels. Like that kind of thing already blows me away. You know, like I have not gone back to beat level 1 at age 20 yet. Like usually I'm at age 21 or 22. Yeah, that's that Tim motherfucking Getty's magic. Right there. But like me, you know, I'm still dying once or twice. And so like the idea of getting hit once or maybe like one to three times and going down terrifies me, but also excites me because that's going to make me perfect the game in a way that appeals to me, but also in a way that I know doesn't appeal to many people. And so for that, I absolutely love that they're adding in an easy mode that way, that like people who I've seen that are like, man, I want to like this game, I want to enjoy this game, but it's too punishing, or like, you know, whatever the hang up may be, they're able to get past that and actually enjoy the game for the experience that it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting that this is not at launch, but it's good that they are doing it at all. But I hope that this is the type of trend shift in trend that we see of accessibility kind of being cared about from the beginning, as opposed to like years down the line or whatever when it's too late. But sounds like they're handling this semi-right, so good on them.
Hey, I do have an update from Sad Boy Barrett in chat who says, I got the plat and I'm good. Can't do a hard mode, LOL. And so it seems like Barrett Courtney is a coward who doesn't want to try the hard mode of Sifu.
Damn, you called it like you see it, bro.
Hey, I call it like I see it, you know? Like, if you're going to be a coward, we're going to call you a coward, Barrett Courtney, all right? Get on stream, do the hard mode of Sifu, beat the entire game. You and Snowbike Mike on Thursdays.
One run.
That's what I'm saying, though, is I feel like he'll be able to. With ease. I've seen Barrett throw hands, man.
I think he just doesn't want to go through the stress of it. But I think for sure he'd be able to do it because Barrett Courtney is a gamer. Mm-hmm. Tim? I can't wait to see how many people are kind of funny beat Sifu's hard mode, but any of us beating it is probably just so far away.
Yeah.
If I want to know what's going on to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Tim, I will say, forever ago, I challenged you to a Mario race, and I just saw Bander SN in chat say Blessing versus Barrett. And that's another great idea that I would love to do one day, is me versus Barrett versus Andy in a Sifu race. Who can beat the game the fastest? Get Tim Getty's in there, right? The four of us.
I mean, fuck it, why not? Yeah, why not? Someone has to lose in order to raise the stakes of the victors. I'm super down. A four-way start from the beginning. Who beats him at the end? Yeah, let's go.
Dude, let's fucking do it. Out today, we got Infernax for PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. That's actually a pretty cool game. It's from the same developers as Just Shapes and Beats, and it's like a Castlevania style like 2D action RPG game. And so if you're looking for that kind of game, I recommend Infernax. Heart of the Woods for PS5 and PS4, River City Girls Zero for Switch, Monster Prom 2, Monster Camp Double XL for Switch, Smash Star for Switch, and then Dying Light 2, the Authority Pack DLC is available now and includes some new gear for you. New dates for you. Ironsmith Medieval Simulator is coming to Steam March 9th. And then Expedition Zero, intense survival horror experience, ambushes Windows PC via Steam on March 24th, 2022. You gotta love the PR write-ups. They use very interesting verbs like ambush. They're ambushing Xbox, or Windows PC via Steam. Tim, it's time. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where folks write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Plumbers here says, I know this is some real nitpicking, but as a math teacher, I've got to point out that 9.25 should be said as 9.25, not 9.25, as that would imply that 9.25 would be greater than 9.3. Very nitpicky. But
no,
you know what?
No,
I like a good math.
No, because you can call it 9.530. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? 9.530?
What was the other number he said?
9.3.
930. Yeah. It's fine. That's not some math shit. Get out of here, math teacher. Looks like you got some more classes to take. Go on, get out.
You want to take some more classes, plumbers? Bader SN says,
I don't know how Kevin just got so many things wrong in one sentence.
Everybody in chat is like, no, you're absolutely wrong.
No,
you can't call 9.3 9.30. 9.25 is what was that?
You can, man. No, they're all wrong.
I mean, listen, Kev's a scientist, and so like I don't know if I can doubt Kevin chat. Bander SN says, Tim said RE3 Remake came out in January, same as RE2 Remake. It actually came out in April 2020, closer to RE Village.
Sorry. What I meant was like the close within the year, and then RE3 was announced in December, came out in April. So it was like the timing was the same of the announcement from E3 to 7, E3 to 2, and then from the announcement of 3 to release of 3. Whereas the announcement of the next game hasn't even happened yet. Mm. The announcement of 8 was a longer lead time.
Kebabs here says, to your wrong, the article, Nathan Drake had the ring. He parted with it in Uncharted 3. And then Kebabs also says that Chloe wore the American Apparel outfit in Lost Legacy.
The American Apparel outfit sucks.
I like it in Lost
Legacy.
That's
all I'm saying. I don't like that outfit. I like her 2 outfit. Her 2 outfit's god tier.
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
Her Lost Legacy outfit looks like American Apparel. They went with the wrong one in Fortnite. And the stylized makes it even worse.
Oh man, I like the outfit in Uncharted Lost Legacy. I think it fits differently in Fortnite.
You gonna tell me you like it better than her outfit in 2?
I'm not saying I like it better.
Okay.
You're right. That yes, the Uncharted 2 outfit for Chloe is better than Uncharted Lost Legacy. But I don't dislike the Lost Legacy outfit. I think she rocks it well. I think Fortnite, like I think the way it fits in Fortnite is weird because of the Fortnite art style. But like I don't think it's bad. I think it's fine. It's Fortnite. Who cares? Isn't that right, Barrett?
Yep.
There you go. Of course, it's Monday. We have a whole week ahead of us. Your week's hosts go like this. On Tuesday, you're getting Greg and Gary Witta. On Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. On Thursday, you're getting Greg and Tim. And on Friday, you're getting Greg and Jordan Ramey from GameSpot. So get hyped for that. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is a bunch of trailer reactions. Of course, yesterday was the Super Bowl. That means that we got a lot of trailers like Doctor Strange, like Moon Knight, like Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. We're going to react to it all and then put it all up on youtube.com/kindoffunny later. So get hyped for that. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, a live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.